Maybe they are physical problems. Maybe they are financial problems. Maybe they are problems in temptation areas of your life. Whatever they are, there's always going to be Jerichos in our life until we cross over into the promised land. Right? But God's there to say, hey, listen, I've already won the battle. I've already won the war. I'm right here with you, and I will take you through this, and I will make it right. And so, first of all, the battle that we must fight is this battle because God is taking us into it for a reason. And remember that every trial we go through, He's taking us through that trial to perfect us, to make us more into the likeness of Christ. So, verses 13 and 14, he's talking to Joshua here. And he says, he looks up and he sees a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Now, Joshua looks up and there is a man there with a sword already taken out. You don't take your sword out unless you're going to use it, right? You don't take your gun out unless you're going to use it or prepared to use it, right? So he's standing there with his sword out. Many scholars believe, and as well as, and I'm not a scholar, but I really truly believe that this was a Christophany. It was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. Because, first of all, it says this, I am the commander of the army of the Lord. The only one who can command the army of the Lord is the Lord Himself. And He's got His sword drawn. One who's prepared for battle. He's wielding the sword. The sword in Scripture as many times talks about the Word of God. And when you think about it, I believe Jesus was saying specifically what John says in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then immediately, Joshua recognizes this isn't some guy that's just standing there. He recognizes and says and refers to Him as Lord. And he's told to take off his shoes for the place that he is standing is holy. Now, does that sound familiar? God said that to somebody else. To Moses, right? The leader of Israel is now standing before the ultimate leader of Israel. Now, Joshua asks an interesting question. Are you for us or for our enemies? I love this. It's almost comical to me. Because Joshua is looking at it from his physical perspective. All right, you got a sword drawn, and you're standing outside the walls of Jericho, and I just need to know, are you on their side or our side? I need to know this. And I think it's almost comical that Jesus said neither. I'm not on anybody's side. You better find out if you're on my side. That's the real thing, because Jesus doesn't take sides. He is the side, right? The Lord's answer is neither. But as commander of the Lord, of the army of the Lord, I have now come. I've now come. From God's perspective, He doesn't choose sides. We must choose. He is already the side. He's saying, listen, I'm going to be doing something. You want to get involved? Come involved. Be involved with me. I remember back in our study with Henry Blackaby, it simply says, God is at work. Why don't you find out where God is at work and get involved? Because I think a lot of times we say, well, we're doing this and this and this. God, would you come and bless it? Maybe God isn't ready to bless that because He's already doing something different and He's asked you to get involved with Him rather than asking Him to come get involved with me. So Joshua asked that question, are you for us or for our enemies? Look at the last part of verse 14. I have now commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. When he realized who he was, immediately the Scripture says he fell face down on the ground in reverence and says, what message does my Lord have for His servant. You see, we can find victory when we become submissive. Immediately, Joshua fell down, face down on the ground. And I've noticed in Scripture, every time there's an appearance of someone coming and speaking on the behalf of God, or God Himself through a Christophany, or whatever else, when they come into the presence of God, immediately they fall on their face. You see, I think a lot of people think, oh man, when I get to heaven, it's going to be all about me. God's going to have me a mansion, and He's going to have all these things lined up for me to do, and I'm going to be so excited, and it's going to be happy, happy all the time. And you know what? We're going to be on our face before God. We're going to be worshiping Him. Because when you come into the presence of God, everything changes. Everything changes. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says it like this: humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. When you submit yourself to God, He will use you. When you say, God, I don't have anything. You have everything. Here I am, as Isaiah said, send me. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 says it like this: submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Come near to God, and He'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. And you see, I think a lot of people have it all backwards. They think, man, I've got to climb the ladder so that somehow I can get blessed. God says, you want to be blessed? Be last. Jesus said, if you want to be first in the kingdom, you got to be last. It's all different. Different mindset, a different heart. Joshua fell face down before Him. Here I am. Man, what is it that you need me to do? Lord. He calls Him Lord. When anyone comes into the presence of God, they're compelled to fall down and worship Him. Bowing before the King means, I now submit myself to You. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, by the way, here's another picture of what happens when you come into the presence of God. Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place, gave Him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and even under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know what, folks? I'm telling you this. I can't wait till that very moment. Because at that very moment, every knee that's ever existed will be bowing. And every tongue will be speaking, Jesus Christ is Lord. And that includes Satan and every demon. That includes every person. It includes every angel. It includes everybody. When we submit ourselves to God, He will do something amazing. And when we are surrendered, God will do something even better. You see, I think many times we kind of submit ourselves in posture. We might submit ourselves partially to God. But when we totally surrender ourselves to Him, God begins to use us. He begins to indwell us in such a way with His power and with His strength and with His might. And He begins to do things through us. What message does my Lord have for His servant? Here, Joshua finally figures out, this is not about the battle tomorrow. This is not necessarily about how we're going to scale the walls, or even if we're going to have to. This is not how we're going to try to break through those walls, because we don't know how we could possibly do that. This is not about the battle plan itself. This is about the One who has already won this war. He's already given us. He just said it in chapter 6. He's already given us this. So what is the message? What are you saying to me right now? He probably thought God was going to give him the battle plan, but instead He gives him the battle plan for His own life and for ours. You are in the presence of holiness. Take off your sandals. You see, it's not learning how we're necessarily going to fight, and it's not necessarily learning that they were going to go around the walls seven times. And it's not all that. That's not all what was really important. What was really important was realizing that they were serving the Holy God. Take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. What I really like is this. Now, this is something that, I mean, I've read through this passage tons of times. But it never really hit me until I was studying it the other day. And it just, boom, okay, I get it now. The literal translation here is actually picked up in the King James Version, which isn't the usual place that I would normally look. But it says, "And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoe," it was actually a singular, "loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where you standest is holy." And Joshua did so. In ancient times, when a covenant was made between two individuals, in which one person possessed power to keep the covenant and the other one didn't, the weaker individual handed the other individual one of his shoes. I believe Joshua was doing that. I believe Joshua was saying, "God, I don't have any power to take down Jericho, but I know you do. Here's my shoe." Now, I realize I'm in the presence of Holy God. And I'm saying to you, because I know you have the power, and I know you can do this, and I've seen what you've done in the past. I was there at the Red Sea. I was there when you fed us in the wilderness. I was there every day seeing the pillars of fire and the pillar of clouds. I've seen all of that. I saw water coming out of a rock. I've seen all these things that you've done for us, God. I've seen you keep my clothes from wearing out for 40 years. I've seen all these things, God. And then you just took us across the Jordan River at flood stage on dry ground. I have no doubt that you can give us Jericho. I don't have any doubt at all. But it isn't based on the fact that you're going to have to show us a particular crevice that we're going to break through or something like that. It has everything in knowing that you are powerful and we are not. Ruth chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Look at this, it's interesting. "At this time, the kinsman redeemer said, 'I cannot redeem it because it might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it.' Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing a transaction in Israel. So the guardian redeemer, or kinsman redeemer, said to Boaz, 'Buy it yourself,' and he removed his sandal." It's like they're making a contract. But it was one who couldn't do it, couldn't afford it, didn't have any means of his own to be able to do it, saying to the other one, "Here's my sandal. I know I can't do this, but you can." Joshua was saying, "God, I can't win this battle, but I know you can, Lord." Wonder how many times we ought to be taking off our shoe and saying to God, "God, I can't win this battle, but I know you can. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what specifically is going to go on." Even at this point, Joshua still didn't know how Jericho was going to fall. But all he knew was this: God knows. God knows. He's taken us this far. He will continue to be with us. He's promised He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's promised us this land. He's done all these things. I trust you, God. I can't do this. I'm not a military guy. I'm not an engineer. I don't know how this is all going to play out. But I do know this: you are in control. Here's my sandal. I bow before you. You are in complete control. And for us, for me, I need to be taking my shoe off a lot more. Because there's a lot of things I try to do on my own and they always fall. If I try in my own strength, it's going to fail. But man, when I give myself over to God, when I allow Him to do what He wants to do, every single time I see victory. The victory, by the way, for Jericho didn't happen on the seventh day when they marched around the wall seven times. The victory had already taken place. Do you see what God said? I've already given it to you. Now see, one of the things that I think about when I was studying this, by the way, I was thinking about, you know what? Why did they have to go take over the most powerful, most strong place right off the bat? Why didn't they start at Ai first? Remember Ai? We'll see that later on. Why didn't they just go down to Ai because it was easy? Exactly right. Exactly right. Right. Absolutely. But it's interesting, had they gone to Ai, they probably would have interestingly found defeat in the smallest place where they found it later on, because they didn't get their eyes where they needed to be. God says, I'm going to give you the best thing right off the bat. And that's how God does it. And everybody that hears about Jericho and what the army of the Lord has done will be in fear. They'll quake in their boots. They won't want to be able, they will not be able to stand against you. And by the way, the people in Jericho, we'll see this also, they're already afraid. They live in the most secure place ever at that point. And they're afraid because they know, as they've heard over and over and over again, and as they will continue, as people throughout Canaan will hear, God fights for them. God fights for them. Do you want God to fight for you? I do. On my own, I'm terrible. God's awesome.